Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I am Kevin Anderson. I wish we weren't doing a podcast tonight on this Friday night. I hope everybody's having a good weekend. But we have some unfortunate news within the Bulls world, and I've got Will Perdue, our Bulls analyst, four-time NBA champion, on the phone. Will, as you know, the Chicago Bulls announced late on Friday night that Lauri Markkanen has a right elbow injury that he suffered in practice on Thursday. MRI reveals that he has a high-grade lateral elbow sprain. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, which means he is likely to miss the first 3 to 5 weeks of the regular season. Will, first, just your reaction to that news, which is a little bit of a surprise because they said at practice this morning that it was a minor injury that clearly is no longer minor.
Well, obviously something happened today in the sense that, as you talked about, minor injury, meaning they kind of went by what he said, but then they probably were determined to be, hey, better safe than sorry. Let's get an X-ray. Let's get an MRI. And then once they did that, they saw the extent of the damage. And it sounds like, and hopefully we'll get more information here in the near future, but it sounds like it's one of those things. He didn't, from a pain threshold, it probably didn't bother him too much, but it was one of those things when they looked at the X-ray and the MRI and they saw the damage that had been done, that it was necessary to shut him down because now you're looking at the big picture rather than short term.
So this has a lot of ripple effects with the team. Certainly opening night, you will not have Lauri Markkanen's name announced the starting power forward. Let's first go with the obvious question. Who plays the four in Markkanen's absence?
Well, you would think that the obvious choice would Bobby Portis, who made the statement this past week that he understands his role. He's fine being the sixth man, and hey, who wouldn't want to be the sixth man because they want you to score coming off the bench? But I honestly think that when it's all said and done, they'll keep him in the same position coming off the bench. And basically, I think they'll start to go small with basically Jabari Parker being that small forward. And what was one of the things that we, and that we meaning Kendall and I, were talking about with Mark Schanowski at that practice the other day was, how will Jabari play at the four? What will his ability be to guard bigger players, not only off the dribble, but down in the post? And I think we're going to find out real quick, because now you're going to ask Fred Hoiberg, you're going to have to show some creativity because of no marketing. How do you make up for what he was able to do on the floor with most likely a smaller lineup?
Well, in regards to Parker, his more natural position is the four. I mean, when we, you know, when he signed with the Bulls a few months ago, it was clearly a, is this a good fit from a basketball standpoint? Because at the three, he would have to guard quicker, more athletic wing players. Don't you think it's actually beneficial to everybody to have Parker play the four in that stretch in which Markkanen is out?
Well, I think it can be, because as we've talked about, this is the team that Fred probably envisioned when he took the Bulls' job, the ability to get out, pace and space. And one of the things that Kendall and I were talking about was is that for Jabari to be truly effective within this offense, he needs to get out on the break. And where it's going to be advantageous is on the offensive end of the floor, where he probably has the ability now off the bounce to be able to get by his defender, won't have to rely so much on the three-point shot. And what is the one of the things that Jim Boylan, the assistant coach, talked about that would make their defense more effective is their ability to get to the free throw line so that they have time to set up their defense after free throws more so instead of after misses, does this make Jabari Parker and the rest of the Bulls more aggressive and getting into the paint and attacking the rim?
So let me ask you this. You're a 13-year NBA vet. You obviously played with some really good players, including Tim Duncan. And the power forward position, the counter argument to not playing Parker at the four would be eventually when Markkanen does return, which in the scheme of things, 6 to 8 weeks is not like half the season. It's not like he's going to be back after the All-Star break. We're talking, you know, worst case scenario, mid-December, maybe late December. And if he is going to play the four Markkanen, which we know he will, and Parker then has to rotate back to the three, is there an argument to be made that Parker should just stay at the three because that's the position he's going to play all season long?
No, because now it's, you know, as Tom Thibodeau used to like to say, it's all hands on deck. Do your job. So Jabari Parker, and this is one of the reasons why he's getting paid $20 million, is because he is a guy that can play more than one position. And you make a valid point, Bulldog, in the fact that probably he is the most effective and probably less, what's the word I'm looking for? He jeopardizes the defense less if he plays the four.
Less of a liability.
The three. Less of a liability at the four than he is at the three on the defensive end of the floor. So, listen, we saw what happened last year when Lauri Markkanen took advantage of the situation that became Nico Mirotic and Bobby Portis. So can this actually be a positive? Whereas Jabari Parker starts out at the four, his more natural position, and this opens up things for the offense of the Chicago Bulls, and maybe, and that's a big maybe, but maybe this offense gets off to a really good start. And notice how I said offense, not necessarily defense, because that was one of the things about Markkanen. You liked his size, you liked his ability to put the ball in the deck from the perimeter, you liked his ability to attack the rim. But he was a threat. He was a guy that could clog up the lane. He was a guy that could block shots. He was a guy that could alter shots. Jabari Parker doesn't do that for you. So all of a sudden now, what do they do on the defensive end? As effective as the offense is, what do they do on the defensive end to make up for the absence of Lauri Markkanen?
So sticking with the offensive theme, is who gets the majority of the shots that Markkanen was going to get? Markkanen certainly was going to be at least the second scoring option with this team, if not the first. I think most of us expect Zach LaVine to get the majority of the shots on a given night. But that's a lot of shots that are now going to be distributed to other guys. Is Parker just kind of slide in and now he's going to take what you would expect to be 15-plus shots a night? Or does that get divvied up more where Chris Dunn now has more freedom to shoot?
Well, I think Parker was going to get his shots up regardless. But as we saw last year when you had no LaVine and a guy that actually was kind of their go-to guy late in the fourth quarters when he wasn't turning the ball over, was Dunn. And I think Dunn now will take advantage of this opportunity because I go back to the point that I still feel in the short time that LaVine and Dunn played together, I thought the offense ran better when the ball was in LaVine's hand, when he was the primary ball handler and Dunn played off the basketball, because then I also felt that LaVine didn't feel like he had to force shots because he wasn't getting a lot of touches or wasn't getting as many touches as he wanted. So it'll be interesting to see what Fred Hoiberg can do. And if there's a time for this to happen, Bulldog, happen now, because now they can work on it and get ready for that first preseason game on Sunday against the Pelicans, and then against Milwaukee, and then against Charlotte. And then when they open up against Philly, they've had plenty of time to implement a change in the offense and the defense and be prepared to hit the ground running when the regular season starts.
So you mentioned Zach LaVine getting the ball and the offense running with LaVine as opposed to maybe Dunn bringing up the court. On Wednesday, the Bulls invited us as broadcast partners, including yourself, out to the Advocate Center to watch a, quote, closed practice with the entire team and Fred Hoiberg. What did you see from that practice? Specifically, how much of LaVine doing the ball handling abilities did you see?
Well, at that time, what I actually saw was it was kind of like whoever was, there wasn't a specific run out pattern. Meaning, like when I played, one of the things that we always did was whether I got the rebound or Bill Cartwright was in the game or Scott Williams or Stacey King or Horace Grant, there were guards spread out on the free throw line extended. So if you got the ball on the left side of the floor, you knew which way to pivot and where the guard was going to be calling for the basketball. Free throw line extended out to the sideline. One of the things I noticed when the Bulls were scrimmaging, when we were watching with officials, was it was almost, if a, you know, one of the things that I really thought and enjoyed was LaVine was really doing an excellent job of attacking the boards offensively and defensively. So he was mixing it up amongst the bigs. And sometimes the passes were Lopez to LaVine, even though LaVine was only 3 feet away. And LaVine was then looking to attack, and the guys were spreading out on the wings. Or Jabari Parker, when he was getting in there, he was bringing the ball up the floor. It wasn't a designated, okay, get the rebound, find your guards, then go. It was kind of like the new school. Even I saw when Lopez, occasionally he brought the ball down the floor. Now, granted, he wasn't being pressured because his man was sprinting down to play defense, but even he was bringing the ball down the floor. So I don't know if this was something that they were working on, something they were experimenting with, but it wasn't like you saw Chris Dunn constantly running around the floor, clapping his hands, calling for the ball, you know, as the primary ball handler. It was almost just everybody push, everybody get in the lane, and try to get down the floor as quick as possible.
Two more questions before we let you go, Will. This is the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. I am Kevin Anderson, Will Perdue, four-time NBA champion, Bulls analyst, on the phone. I'm going to ask you big picture, then more specific. First, big picture. Does this injury change your expectations for this team overall this season and how many wins they'll have when it comes mid-April?
Actually, it does, because I feel like this is going to affect how they start. Because one of the things that we talk about, it's a tough schedule early, you know, because you're at Philly. Second game of the year is home against Detroit. They're much improved. You got the Golden State Warriors in October. You got Denver in October. They're a much improved team that everybody's talking about. It's going to make the playoffs in the West. Then right out of the gate in November in Indianapolis. And then you got Houston. You know, we talked about, and one of the things that I heard Zach LaVine talk about, okay, we're going to take our schedule in blocks. So let's say they go in 10-game blocks. Well, the first 30 games, 10, 10, and 10, of those 30, I think 15 are against playoff teams from last year. And as I just mentioned, Golden State, Houston are two of the teams, and San Antonio that come in early in the season at home. And all of a sudden now you think about, man, how do they sneak out a win in these games without a Lowry marketing? Because you really don't feel like they're going to win on the road. So this is now where I feel like there's some more pressure put on Fred Hoiberg and his creativity with the offense to try to make up for what they are missing on the offensive end with now Lowry Marketing. But I'm even more interested to see what Jim Boylan does on the defensive end. You know, you talked about with that article that Kendall and I put out, I think it was actually on Friday, you know, he wanted me to make sure that we made it very clear that they're just not going to switch on defense every single time. But all of a sudden now with Jabari quite possibly assuming playing the four, that might actually be their first line of defense now. Switch, 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 switch. And what do teams do when that happens? So we had a lot of unanswered questions after watching that practice the other day. Now we even have more unanswered questions. But thank God it's early. They got five preseason games to figure it out before they throw it up on October 18th.
So for those of you wondering, go to NBCSportsChicago.com, click on the Bulls page. Will and Kendall Gill did a nice little write-up about what they saw at that practice on Wednesday, which we were invited to watch. So it's definitely worth a read. Both have really good observations of what they saw in that practice. Last one for you, Will. In regards to Markkanen specifically, this is a right elbow injury. Are you concerned about any long-term ramifications of this injury, or do you think this is something 2 months from now he'll be back to 100% and he'll be fine?
I don't know yet. I hope to hear something more specific in the near future. But what I don't like is correct me if I'm wrong, Bulldog, but this is the shooting. This is the shooting elbow of the right arm. Correct.
Correct. This is right elbow. Correct.
So that's what concerns me. If it was the left elbow, I wouldn't have as much concern. But because of the fact it's the right elbow, the shooting arm, this is something that, in my opinion, they have to let heal totally. So I know they're saying 6 to 8, but let's just say this thing doesn't heal properly. Is all of a sudden 6 to 8 become 10 to 12? That's what we don't know.
And in your experience, have you gone through any similar injury in your career? Did you ever have an elbow injury?
Nothing where I actually missed significant amount of time. And I think 6 to 8 weeks is a significant amount of time. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, once the season starts, there's always something that gets dinged, nicked. You know, I remember getting my hand caught and bent backwards. I had a hyperextended elbow, but I kept playing. But I also wasn't a scorer. So, you know, nothing to this severity as far as an elbow goes.
Very good. That is Will Perdue, Bulls analyst here at NBC Sports Chicago. Will, thank you so much for your time. I know we're really looking forward to, even without marking and playing, we're really looking forward to that preseason game on Sunday night against the Pelicans at the United Center. You can see that game here on NBC Sports Chicago and watch that. And I know we're all looking forward to actual basketball back in our lives again after a long hiatus over the summer.
You're exactly right. And listen, that's one of the things that we have all agreed upon. This team is going to be fun to watch, regardless of what their record ends up being. I truly believe that we're going to see a lot of high-scoring, high-flying basketball this year with the Chicago Bulls.
Fantastic, Will. Thank you for your time. Again, this is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. You can find us on Stitcher, Apple, and all places that you can find podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody.